Our scripture reading before this morning's lesson comes from the book of James. James chapter 2 and verse 13. James chapter 2, verse 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. But Dennis.
Matthew chapter 5. We have the Sermon on the Mount. The first 12 verses that start off this famous sermon is what we know and understand as the Beatitudes. A very important part of this sermon. Each Beatitude has a particular form. In each of these Beatitudes, there is a declaration of blessing. There is a description of the attitude and the disposition of the blessing. The Greek word for blessing contains the idea of happiness and contentment. Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 40, he says, "But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. I think also that I have the Spirit of God." The blessing is followed by the description of the attitude. This is why they are called Beatitudes. They are attitudes that describe who we are to be. And then there's the disposition of the blessing. The actual blessing itself and the reason for the happiness. And this is what we can expect with the result for having the attitude that is described. I want to focus this morning on Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now there are several of these Beatitudes that come from Old Testament verses, and this one is no exception. There are some scholars who believe that Jesus is referring back to Psalms 18 verse 25. Where the psalmist says, with the mercy thou wilt show thyself mercy. The source of mercy is God himself. So being merciful is an attribute of God that we need to emulate. In Exodus chapter 34, here, God is getting Moses together. He's got to rewrite the Ten Commandments or the commandments because Moses broke the other ones. But in verse 6, it says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Lord, Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." What does it mean to be merciful? The Bible's usage of the word mercy involves love. And we find evidence of this in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, which says that God, being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But being merciful also involves satisfying needs. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 10, Isaiah here writes, "They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat of the sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water will he guide them." Being merciful also involves forgiveness. In Daniel 9 and verse 9, And it says, "Unto the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him." And as hard as it is, as difficult as it is as a human being, it also involves loving our enemies. In Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36, Luke writes it this way, "But love your enemies and do them good, and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is mercy." So we can wrap all this up very short. That mercy is the outflowing of love that seeks to satisfy another's true needs with a willingness to forgive their faults. But who are the merciful? The merciful are the ones who provide for the needy, is merciful. In the 14th Psalm in verse 31, it says that he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that has mercy on the needy honor him. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27, Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, he tells him to practice mercy toward the poor to end his iniquities and to lengthen his tranquility. Being merciful helps us too. It helps us. It brings peace to our hearts. The one who tends to the sick is merciful. There are numerous occasions that we can read in the Gospels of Jesus showing mercy towards the sick. The one example that I like to show is in Matthew chapter 9. And starting in verse 27, "And when Jesus departed hence, there was two blind men who followed him, crying and saying, O Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus says to him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, See that no man know it." There is in Matthew 17 another example. A man with an epileptic son. Now the Bible says he was a lunatic. But if you read, you can see the examples of epilepsy. He would fall in the fire or he would fall in the water. It is common knowledge to know and understand that epileptic seizures can be brought on by the flickering of fluorescent lights or the flickering of light. Fire flickers and can bring about a seizure. And also looking across water, the flickering of a light in the water can also bring these on. But in this, in verse 5:15, it says, "Where this man had asked Jesus to have mercy on his son." Now while we tend to the sick, and when we tend to the sick, we don't have any miraculous healing powers. But our caring aids tremendously in the healing process. People just knowing that there are those there who are caring for them and are thinking of them and are merciful to them does so much for those to heal. But also the merciful is one who pardons the guilty. In the 51st Psalm in verse 1, consider here David's plea where he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Or the 123rd Psalm. In verse 3, "Have mercy upon us, O Jehovah, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt." The Bible is a book of mercies. It is an account of God's love for mankind. A human race that, if we really look down at the heart of it, really doesn't need or deserve to be saved. But God has been merciful to all of us. We all know and understand that we are not perfect creatures. But you can see God's mercy in 1 John 1 and verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is mercy. But what blessing derives from our mercy? What blessing will we receive? Why is it a blessing to be merciful? One is because it is an attitude of God. It is His attribute to be merciful. Psalms 85 and verse 15, it says that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Joel 2 and verse 13 says almost the exact same thing. That God is gracious and merciful, that He's slow to anger, that He's abundant in loving kindness to those who repent, not with the show of repentance that so many think they can get away with, but with that heart-wrenching repentance that proves to God once and for all that you are truly sorry. And God is merciful for that. He will forget those things. Because it is an attribute of God, it is simply the right thing to do to be merciful. If we desire to be like God, then we will be merciful. I read earlier Luke 6, verse 36, "Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful." You know, God desires mercy. God does not desire sacrifice. This was a huge problem with the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had gone out and He was at the house, and in that house were publicans and sinners, and he was eating with them. And this really irritated the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees, they wouldn't come within a stone's throw of a sinner. Unless, of course, it was to throw the stone. They had no desire whatsoever to try to change people's hearts. Jesus knew this and understood it. This is one of the reasons Jesus was so hard on them. They were stiff-necked. They thought they were so full of righteousness, but it was all self-righteousness. In verse 13, Jesus says, "But go ye and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus spent His life, His ministry, amongst those who needed the most and needed the mercy most. The Pharisees did everything they could to get away. Mercy also satisfies the golden rule. We provide aid to others as we would want aid provided to us. When we show mercy to others, they receive what is needful from us, and the mercy we show, we will gain back. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, there was a lawyer who had asked Jesus some questions. Jesus had told him to love his neighbor, and he asked the question, "Oh, who's my neighbor?" Well, Jesus goes and tells this parable. And when he was done with the parable, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of the three in this parable was a neighbor to the one that fell among the thieves? And in verse 37, the lawyer said, he that showed mercy to him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. We will be blessed. Because Luke wrote in Acts 20 and verse 35 that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because we will in turn receive mercy by us being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If we're not willing to be merciful, then how can we expect mercy? In James 2 and verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to him that showed no mercy. Mercy glorifieth against judgment. But it is also wise to be merciful. In James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 will conclude with this verse. Let us therefore draw near with the boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. Brethren, God wants us to have mercy. Brethren, God wants us to have mercy. And we need God's mercy. And so let's follow the Hebrew writer. And let us draw near and do what we need to do to receive God's mercy. The greatest mercy that God ever exhibited to mankind was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. The greatest thing ever done the Son of God giving up His spot in heaven to come here living proof of God's mercy for mankind. Do you want to partake of that mercy? I would expect if you had a room of 1,000 people and you asked that question, 1,000 people would say yes. They want that mercy. But we can only obtain that mercy by following God's plan and believe that it is true. God's plan of salvation. To hear the word, to believe, to repent, and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. You can't get any more mercy shown than that right there. To be cleansed of all iniquity. To be adopted into God's family. To be called a child of God. And to have all rights thereof. Of the inheritance that God is going to leave us all when He comes and returns. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you are a child of God, have you been merciful this week? Have you been merciful in your life? Do you want to be like God? If this has been a shortcoming with you, then you need to ask God for forgiveness. And to learn to be merciful. To make that an attribute of God that you want to hold deep in your heart and to exhibit on a daily basis to all those who you come in contact with. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we say.